Hello and welcome back to Koala Moon, a podcast of original children's bedtime stories and meditations designed to make bedtime a dream. Before we get started on our safari adventure, I want to wish a very happy birthday to Sage from Ohio. And I also want to welcome into the Coco Club, Sella from New York City, August, Oliver and Porter in Guam, Ivy Love from Ibiza, Kobe from Bridgend, and Andrew in Morgantown. We're delighted to hear from so many of you. I love all your names too. Coco and I think you'll agree that our stories are just getting better and better, and that's all thanks to your support. Tonight, you're in for a treat. A two-course tail-wagging treat, in fact. Yes, we are about to catch up with our best bouncy doggy duo, Hector and Sunny, as they head off on holiday, but not to New York this time, all the way to Africa. To Kenya, to be precise. They cannot wait to see all the animals there. So their new friend, Mira the Meerkat, takes them out straight away on a moonlit safari. Parents, Koala Moon is now available on StoryButton, the easiest way to listen to Koala Moon and many other great kid podcasts without having to use your phone or tablet to play the episodes. Save $10 this month when you use the code KOALA at StoryButton.com. Listen to all your favourite bedtime stories and more without using a screen. Learn more at StoryButton.com. As I was saying, this story is part one of a two-parter. To listen to the rest of Hector and Sunny's Kenyan adventures, go to Koala Shine and hit follow. The new episode will be ready for you first thing on Saturday morning. And apparently, our doggy duo get into all sorts of sticky situations. In our story tonight, however, you'll be happy to know that everything stays calm and sleepy. So, let's get ready by lying back in bed and relaxing your body as much as you can. Close your eyes if you wish, and your mouth. And breathe in through your nose, feeling your chest fill up. And then let all the air out again. Whoosh. Breathe in again. And sigh it out. Keep breathing in and out whilst gently moving around and letting the different parts of your body relax and melt into the mattress beneath you. Lovely, I think you're ready, and it's time to be reunited with our pals. Let's begin Hector and Sunny's Moonlit Safari by Luke Prendergast. Several months had passed since Hector the Golden Retriever and Sunny the Spaniel had gone on holiday to New York City. They still dreamt about it now, packing their bags, travelling with Hector's dad to the airport, looking out of the plane window at all the puffy white marshmallow clouds. And then, of course, discovering beneath the city the topsy-turvy dog's paradise of New York City, where absolutely everything was a chewy toy. Hector and Sunny found themselves drooling just thinking about it. Yep, it was heaven. Their trip to New York City might have been the only real holiday the dogs had ever been on, but there was no doubt about it. It was the best holiday that had ever happened. Ever. And now, they were ready for another adventure. Whenever Hector's dad asked them playfully if they fancied going on holiday again, they would bark and yip and run around the kitchen to let him know that yes, they absolutely did. But no plan ever actually materialised. Then one afternoon, Hector and Sunny came in from the garden, where they'd spent a good few hours chasing their own tails in circles and getting into knots, to discover that Hector's dad had taken the suitcases out of the big cupboard where he stored them.
"We're going on holiday again," he told them,
a big, beaming smile breaking out across his face.
"Your owner's coming along too, Sonny. Our old friend Sylvie's from Kenya and she's invited us out to visit. So we're going on safari."
"Safari?" Hector and Sonny exchanged curious looks. They'd never heard that word before. Safari. And they didn't know what it meant. But they sure were looking forward to finding out. So they packed their bags, each making sure to remember their sunglasses. Hector's dad told them it would be hot where they were going. Their doggy brushes and plenty of chew toys, just in case they found a few minutes of time to spare here and there. Then they all got an early night, squeezing their eyes tightly shut and willing themselves to sleep, in spite of all the excitement they were feeling. That night, their dreams were filled with airplanes zigzagging across a tiny earth. The flight took almost 10 hours. So even though they left first thing in the morning, before the dawn sun had even broken over the horizon, it was late afternoon when they landed in Nairobi, the capital city of Kenya. As soon as Hector and Sonny stepped down off the plane, they got hit by a wall of heat. The air seemed to vibrate thickly with it. When they'd picked up their suitcases from the giant conveyor belt, Hector loved grabbing hold of the handles with his teeth and dragging them off. They jumped in a car. They were heading, Hector's dad told them, for a town an hour or so away called Naivasha, which was where his friend Sylvie lived.
"We're going to be driving through the Great Rift Valley," Hector's dad said from the front seat.
Hector and Sonny glanced at each other. The Great Rift Valley? What was that?
Soon enough, they found out. The car left the busy road and began to climb up a big hill.
When they reached the crest of it, the land on the other side fell away into the hugest valley they could ever have imagined. For miles and miles and miles, as far as the eye could see, green savanna unrolled beside them, punctuated here and there by solitary mountains, flat-topped hills, clumps of trees. They could even see a storm in the distance, a black mass of clouds with ribbons of rain falling out from beneath it, travelling on the winds through the valley. The Great Rift Valley, Sonny's mum told them, was created millions of years ago when tectonic plates deep beneath the earth's surface rumbled and drifted apart. Back then, the drift caused earthquakes and volcanoes to form, which became the mountains they could still see, and also caused a huge valley to be created. The valley stretched all the way from Egypt, way up north, to Mozambique, far in the south. Now it had grown so lush with trees and grasses that it was home to many of the world's most wonderful wildlife, which was why, she said, they were coming here to go on safari. Occasionally, as they drove, Hector and Sonny thought they could see little shapes moving across the valley, but they were far too far away to see properly.
"Here we are,"
Hector's dad announced as they pulled up to a house on the outskirts of a town. The sun was just setting. The sky had dipped from blue to lilac and was filled with puffy pink clouds. When Hector and Sonny hopped out of the car, they could hear the sounds of insects buzzing in the big leafy trees that sprung up around the house. Just then, a woman in blue jeans and white t-shirt stepped out of the house.
This must be their friend, Sylvie. She gave Sunny's mum and Hector's dad a big hug. And then, from behind her, stepped a creature that neither Hector nor Sunny had ever seen before. She looked kind of like a weasel, they supposed, or an otter. Except she walked on her two back legs. "Hello," she said, giving the dogs a wave. "I'm Mira, the meerkat. I live here with Sylvie. You two must be Hector and Sunny." Hector and Sunny told Mira it was good to meet her, and Mira replied that it was nice to meet them too. Their owners had already climbed the steps to the veranda that circled Sylvie's house. The two of them stepped inside and the door hung open behind them. But instead of following them inside, Mira the meerkat gave the two dogs a big grin. "I know it's almost night time," she said, "but I was wondering if, as it's your first evening in Kenya, you two wanted to join me on a little bit of an adventure." Both Hector and Sunny's ears pricked. Neither of them could ever resist the suggestion of an adventure.
What kind of adventure?" Sunny asked.
"Have you ever heard of Lake Naivasha?" Mira asked. Sunny shook her head and looked at Hector inquisitively. He shook his head too.
"No," they said. "What's that?"
"Lake Naivasha is what gives its name to this town. It's a huge lake, as big as a sea, and it's not very far away. We can take a walk there. There are so many wonderful things to see and cool animals to meet, so," she concluded with a little wink and a twitch of her nose, "what do you say?" Hector and Sunny answered in a flash,
"We say yes."
Mira clicked her fingers and time froze for their owners. That way they wouldn't even notice that they were gone. It seemed Mira had a little bit of magic around her. Sunny was beginning to think she was Kenya's version of Sydney the squirrel. Mira beckoned the two dogs with her little black paw. "This way," she said. Hector and Sunny followed Mira through some dense hedges until they broke out into a big field on the other side. Here and there across the meadow grew clumps of huge trees, their yellow trunks bent in jagged angles so that it looked like they were leaning over. Their branches fanned out on top into a flat canopy of leaves so that they looked like palms raised flat to the sky.
"What are those trees called?" asked Hector. "We don't have any trees, anything like that at home."
"Those are called acacia trees," Mira said. "They're all over Kenya. But I suppose that the trees back at your home would look completely strange to me." Hector frowned and then nodded his head. He'd never thought about it like that before. They were walking towards one such group of acacia trees when, all of a sudden, Sunny jumped and grabbed hold of Hector.
"What's the matter?" Hector asked her.
"Well, the thing is,"
Sunny said, her voice quivering a little,
"countries in Kenya move."
Hector wrinkled his nose.
"What do you mean? Why are you asking a question like that?"
"Because," Sunny said, pointing ahead of her, "that tree there, it seems to be moving."
Hector looked and saw that Sunny was right. One of the trees had dislodged itself from the ground and appeared to be walking in rolling gait across to another tree. Beside them, Mira the meerkat descended into ripples of laughter.
No, 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 she said. That's not a tree. That's a giraffe. But you're right, she added. From a distance, their long necks and brown and yellow coat do make them look a bit like acacia trees.
Sunny, who had recovered herself, gave a little smile.
That's some good camouflage, she said. Can we go and meet the giraffe?
We sure can, said Mira. Mira led them up to the giraffe, who was now stretching his long neck to pluck some leaves from the acacia tree. Mira cleared her throat and said,
Hey there, Twigger.
From way, way up high, the giraffe looked down at the noise. He continued to chew the leaf he'd plucked from the tree, his jaw swinging back and forth. Then he took a big gulp. Hector thought he could see the leaf travel all the way down the giraffe's long neck and began to speak to them.
Oh, hello, Mira. I didn't see you all the way down there. I guess my eyesight isn't quite as good as it used to be.
Mira pointed up at the sky.
Oh, it's just getting dark, she said.
Twigger the giraffe blinked at the sky, then nodded at her.
You're right. That must be it. And who are these two?
He asked, now blinking at Hector and Sunny.
These are my new pals from England, Mira explained. Hector and Sunny.
Hector and Sunny introduced themselves to Twigger and told him that they'd never met a giraffe before on all of their exciting travels. Twigger told them that he'd never met dogs like them before either. Jackals, yes, and spotted hyenas, but never any dogs with coats such as gleaming and golden as theirs. This made Hector and Sunny both feel very chuffed indeed. Then Twigger looked up into the acacia tree and sighed.
Oh, I'm trying to reach that leaf, he said. But I just can't get it.
And as though to demonstrate, the extra tall giraffe went up on the tips of his hooves and stretched his long neck as long as it would go and stuck his long, rough tongue out as far as he could. But still, he could not reach the leaf. Twigger gave a big sigh.
See?
Hector gave a little yip.
We can help you with that,
he said.
You can?
Asked Twigger. And then Hector explained how once upon a time he and Sunny had gone on an adventure to the Amazon rainforest, where they'd met a friendly jaguar called Claws, and Claws had taught them how to climb trees, which was usually the kind of thing only cats and not dogs could do.
Look,
said Hector, and he extended the claws of his foot, and in a moment he'd climbed all the way up the acacia tree, plucked the succulent-looking leaf from the branch, and dropped it into Twigger's open mouth.
Wow,
said Twigger as Hector resumed his place back on solid ground.
Thank you.
You're very welcome,
Hector said. Mira told Twigger that she was going to show Hector and Sunny the lake before true darkness fell, and so they waved goodbye to the giraffe and went on their way. The sky had faded from lilac to a deep dark blue, and the cicadas were making their chirruping sounds all around them. They walked through the meadow where herds of impala and antelope, with their beautiful curved horns, folded their legs and laid their heads down to rest for the night. They passed a couple of zebras who swished their tails to say hello. Then, at last, they saw it, the lake. Mira was right. It was huge. A broad, glittering disk of water in which the purple clouds were reflected and wobbled back and forth. All along the water's edge, small trees bowed down as if to drink from the surface. And in the distance, far away on the other side of the lake, they could see the dark silhouettes of mountains. "Welcome to Lake Naivasha," Mira said. Hector and Sunny, who for a moment were left speechless, finally managed to find their tongues and told her it was one of the most beautiful they had ever seen. "Do you fancy a dip?" Mira asked them. Well, they sure did. "Come on then," Mira said, scurrying towards the water. "Just watch out for any hippos."
Hippos?
Sunny repeated. Just then, a noise came from the water. A huge dark shape was rising out of the surface. They could see big nostrils, grey skin, and two little beady eyes. It was a humongous hippopotamus. The hippo gave a big snort, which sprayed water up into the air, and then yawned a big yawn, showing them all its huge set of teeth.
"Yep," said Mira, laughing. "Hippos. They can be pretty grumpy," she explained, "so it's best not to get in their way. Come this way."
Mira led them along the lakeside, away from where the hippo was bathing in the muddy shallows.
"Here's good," she said,
and then she performed a graceful little dive and slipped beneath the surface of the silvery water. It didn't take Hector and Sunny long to follow after, and soon enough they were all swimming and splashing about in Lake Naivasha. Mira showed them how she liked to dive down and run her fingers through the dense reeds that grew at the bottom of the lake, and Hector and Sunny taught her their favourite swimming stroke, doggy paddle. At last, they simply lay on their backs, floating on the warm water, looking up at the stars twinkling in the sky. The moon was out now, a milky crescent moon that looked like a smile and which spilled its light down onto the water, so it seemed that the lake had been transformed into liquid silver. It was so utterly tranquil, with the strange sounds of unknown birds twittering and cooing unseen in the trees, and the water lapping gently against the shore, that Hector and Sunny began to feel very tired indeed. "Come on then, you two," Mira said as she heard the dogs begin to yawn. "Time to get you back home and to bed." They clambered out of Lake Naivasha, shook the water off their coats, and headed back the way they came. It was almost completely dark now. The acacia trees were shadowy shapes that only appeared when you got near them. And every now and then they'd come across a sleeping herd of animals, and they'd have to creep around them very carefully indeed Finally, they reached the end of the meadow, where they could pass back through to Sylvie's house. But just as they were passing beneath an acacia tree, they heard a low, growling voice. "Well, good evening there." Hector, Sunny, and Mira looked up into the acacia tree and were a little surprised to see a huge cat lying on one of the branches, with its long tail hanging down and curling into a little point. "Well, hello, Lyra," Mira said. "I didn't see you there." Lyra the leopard gave a twist of her tail. "That," she said, "is rather the intention." Leopards, she told them, were shy and solitary creatures. They preferred to keep out of sight, hidden in shadowy places and up in the secret boughs of trees. "But, you know," she added, "it's rather peaceful up here. Would you like to come and see?" Hector, Sunny, and Mira said that they would indeed, and up they climbed to perch in the branches next to Lyra the leopard. She was right. It was very peaceful up here, where they could see the nighttime savannah stretching out before them. Mira told Lyra that she'd just taken Hector and Sunny on their first little safari before their proper one the next day. "Safari," Sunny said, remembering the word from when Hector's dad had used it back home. "What does that mean, safari?" "Ah," Lyra purred. "Safari is a Swahili word, meaning journey. So whenever you're moving through the savannah here, going on a journey through the landscape, well, you're going on safari." Hector and Sunny were both very pleased to have learnt the meaning of this new word. To thank Lyra for teaching them, Hector pulled out a bag of dog treats which he had tucked beneath his collar, just in case he got peckish. He passed the bag around, and all four of them chewed merrily on the treats as they watched the big, pale moon hang in the sky like a lantern. "My, my," Lyra purred. "Let me tell you, these treats are some of the most delicious things I have ever tasted. I don't think there's a big cat in all of Kenya who wouldn't like the taste of these? Thank you." Hector said that she was very welcome. They sat in the acacia tree for a few minutes longer, nibbling on treats and chatting to their new friend, Lyra the leopard. Then Sunny let out a very large yawn indeed, and they knew it was time to go back home. They said their goodbyes and climbed down the tree. As they walked back to Sylvie's house, they felt like they were falling asleep on their feet. It had been a very long day indeed, flying all the way from England to Kenya and being taken on their first ever miniature safari. Hector and Sunny were ever so grateful to Mira for that. "The pleasure is all mine," Mira said. And when they got back to Sylvie's house and time unfroze, their owners were amused by the animals' sleepy yawns and tired blinks. They commented that the dogs must have been tired out from the plane journey, knowing nothing about the late-night safari they'd just enjoyed. As their owners chatted, Hector, Sunny, and Mira tucked themselves up on the veranda outside in the warm Naivasha air.
Good night, Sunny. Good night, Mira,
Hector said, stretching his toes and letting out a yawn.
Good night, Hector, Sunny said.
Sleep well, both of you, Mira told them, for tomorrow we go on an adventure safari, and it is important that you're both well rested. And so, the three of them closed their eyes, the smell of honeysuckle drifting over the veranda, and with the sound of the cicadas as their bedtime lullaby, they drifted off into a deep and peaceful sleep.